welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can, in turn, inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you from the Upward Sports Studio. Well, have you ever had one of those family drama situations around the Thanksgiving table? Do you get stressed when the holidays come around? Well, this week's story may be just for you. And then I want to talk about how important it is to just show up. Sometimes that's all it takes, but nothing can take place until you do show up. So let's talk about that. And joining me once again for those stories and so much more is Upward Running. It's hard to say.
You're getting used to that, aren't you?
Upward Running Director Mitchell Hollis. Yes.
Thanks for having me, Dean. So it's getting that time of year. You know, a lot of people have sinus issues in the spring. For whatever reason, I have them in the fall.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wish I was in the choir this time of year, because I start to get that baritone voice. You know, you wake up and it's just, I don't know what it is that blooms in the fall, but it really affects me. And I think it affects everybody in my house, because everybody in my house is talking a few octaves lower right now. So
yeah.
But yeah, so it's almost Thanksgiving.
Yes. I love the holiday season.
I do too.
And a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about really doesn't affect me too much, but it's
I've had a little bit of it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. They always say that if you don't have crazy in your family, then it's probably you.
Well, there's no question it's you and your family. So
I don't know about that. I don't know who's listening to this. So.
Well, I did something crazy yesterday.
Yeah.
I signed up for a 12-hour run.
Well, that's just
it's taking place this Saturday. This Saturday. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I signed up for it just under the deadline.
And where's that at?
So it's at Ringgold High School, right up the road.
Oh yeah, you told me
that. I figured it was close. No, I need to do a long run. I may not be out there for 12 hours. I may be out there for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
May call it a day. But I just signed up because I thought, well, it's kind of fun to participate in those things. And so, yeah. But otherwise, I'm going to go. You know, I'm doing that backyard ultra. So what I thought I would do is, you know, backyard ultra is a little over 4 miles per loop each hour. I thought for this, for 12 hours, I'm going to try to run 5 miles each hour. So I'll run 5 miles. When I get through 5 miles, then I'll rest until it's time to start the next hour.
Hmm.
So it'll be kind of a practice run, so to speak, with a little bit faster pace than I will be doing at the backyard race. Hmm. So I don't know. What do you think? You think that sounds smart, or is that crazy?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of signing up for things last minute. I'm kind of, even though that's not what we teach necessarily, and you shouldn't always do that.
For sure.
I do like those whims. We've talked about it. That book I'm listening to, it talks about you should do that at least once a year. Do something that you just, there's a 50% chance you don't know that you can do. So kudos, Dean.
It'll be fun. Well, our post of the week comes from Allison Raymond Bryant. She says, "Hey there, Run Club fam. I'm on here daily, but don't post much. Quick rundown of the past few months. Our church run group trained for and did a local 5K. A local running group citywide started and got to take part in a trash pickup 5K. Thankful for another way to build relationships. David and I have really missed the trail races, so we're making up for that. 4 in 3 months. Yesterday was a 10K we've been wanting to do for a while, called the Wild Hare. Very pretty run through pine forests on a ranch here in Texas. Another 10K race coming up, Mosaic, will be the same race where we did our marathon 3 years ago. We're slowly getting more consistent again with weekly training. God lovingly reminded me that training just enough to get through races is like someone going to church only on Christmas and Easter and then saying that person is active in church. Of course, it's better than nothing, but it's about the attitude of my heart. I can do more than make my temple healthy. David has been amazing through this hectic race schedule, full-time pastor while also being full-time student working on his doctorate. I'm so proud of him. These races give us much-needed fun, exercise, and change of scenery. This week, I'll finally have a doctor's appointment to find out more about some liver issues. I was diagnosed in August and have been waiting to find out basic info. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful blessings, especially for our awesome run club.
Wow. Allison likes to race.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, this kind of goes right along with what we're just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sign up for stuff.
Sure.
And it'll get you going. And I wanted to highlight this because there's so many people that talk about how busy they are and how they can't fit things in. And
right.
You hear how busy this couple is,
right.
And yet they're finding time. And not only is she finding time, she's trying to do it more consistently.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're working on it is what she says.
Yeah.
So they've got a ways to go. But yeah, if you're out there and you're saying, I don't have time, here's a great example.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that I've always really tried to not make that statement. I don't have time.
Yeah.
Because I do have time. It's all about what we prioritize. We have time to do things. We have time to do the things we want to do. And so, you know, yeah, I just try to stay away from that statement.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a personal thing with me.
And where she is busy, she's being positive about it.
Yeah.
She's looking at the bright side.
And you can multitask.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about all the ways that you can get a run in on this podcast, you know, running to kids' practices or, you know, running around the ball field while your kids are practicing.
Yeah.
And you can still watch. I mean, I remember watching Landon Landon on the ball field, and I would be running around it at Edwards Park. I would do the loop around the fields and watching while they're practicing. So it's not like you're, you know, away from your kids. It's just you're not sitting on the bleachers.
Yep.
You're running around the fields.
Getting something done. Yeah. So she mentions that she doesn't post a lot. Well, probably the reason why she doesn't post a lot is because she's busy.
Sure.
So here's what I want to challenge you. If you spend a lot of time online, mm-hmm. on your phone, watching television, whatever it may be, and you're saying you don't have time to exercise, you might want to take a step back and figure out what your priorities should be.
I would challenge everybody, and you've heard us talk about this before, that, you know, when I worked with the youth at my church, when we had the triathlon team, I would ask the kids, I wouldn't make them, you know, because I'm not their parent, but I would ask them, pull out your phone and share your screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would be amazed at how many of these kids talk about how they don't have time for things. And they would have 7, 8, 10, 11 hours average
per day
on their phone. And of course, you know, then here come the excuses. Well, I do homework. And I'm like, well, you know, as part of that time, screen time that you see what apps you're on the most.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, show me your homework app. And it's like 1 hour for the whole week.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. And then I had one young lady said, oh, I read the Bible. I do my Bible study. I'm like, well, pull up the Bible app. Show me. And I really would push. I would lean in on them because I really understand how what that does. Mm-hmm. Not only the mental side, you can get into all that, but just the time, the screen time. You know, I always used to say it's rotting your brain. And you hear others in like the media now, they're making that same exact statement that it's just what it's doing to the brain of just constantly looking at the screen. So I would challenge you, if you've never looked at your screen time, it may be an eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
And I try to look at mine, and I have a threshold that I try to stay below. And the only way I stay below that is I delete the social media apps. Now, I still get on social media, but I do it on my computer. And for some reason with me, if I get on my computer, it's like I'm always doing other things, so I don't stay on there as long. I don't get into the death scroll.
Yeah.
But if it's on my phone, my screen time will go way up.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I just don't have it on my phone.
Yeah, it's a good way. Well, run of the week comes from Greg Chance. 18-mile long run. After last week's long run, 16 miles, I was seriously worried about how my legs would feel with this one. As it turns out, I had nothing to worry about. And what a difference a week made. Not just a week, of course, but a week of running. And no issues with my ankle. Things are looking good. Hmm. What do they say about, you know, about weather in a lot of places?
Yeah.
If you don't like the weather, just hang out for an hour and it's sure to change. That's kind of the same thing with running. A lot of times we assume that we struggle with a – long runs are a good example. You struggle one weekend and you think, oh, the next weekend I'm going to up my mileage a little bit. It's going to be really, really rough. And then you breeze through it and it's like, That's weird.
Or you have that run and you start. I had one yesterday. I was, you know, I'm coming back to running. I have been for a while now, and from all that walking I did for a couple of years. And yesterday I decided I was going to do a progression run, and I almost mailed it in about 3/4 of a mile in. I mean, it was like, this is horrible. I probably ran a little bit too close to when I ate, but then that third mile, it was like, by the third mile, I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
But 15 minutes time difference between I'm going to mail it in and I feel great. So a lot of times you just, and always on that first mile, it's just, it's horrible anyway.
Yeah. Never judge anything on the first mile or two. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, just know that if you get out there, just getting, again, I'm going to have a story here and we're going to talk about just showing up. A lot of times that's the whole thing. Our trivia question from last week. How long do you have to run to burn off a Big Mac? First of all, do you know how many calories are in a Big Mac? I was surprised.
I mean, roughly, yeah. It's not what you think.
550 calories. Yeah. I would have guessed 800 or 900 calories. Yeah. So it's a little less than I thought. It takes an average person about 45 minutes to burn off that many calories. Of course, it depends on several factors. How fast are you running?
What's 45 minutes of running.
Running, yeah. Of running. Yeah. Yes, yes. You know, how fast are you running, your weight, your fitness level, a lot of things depend on how long that's going to take. But around 45 minutes it takes to burn off one Big Mac.
Yeah.
If you are cycling, it takes about 55 minutes on average. If you're swimming, it takes about 75 minutes on average. And if you're walking, it takes about 110 minutes on average. And I assume that's kind of walking at a pretty good pace.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you at all?
It really doesn't.
None of it? No.
You know, I kind of went back and did a little bit of digging. Because it's usually not, we've talked about this before with fast food restaurants. You know, Chick-fil-A came out with their pimento cheese, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I pulled through one day and I just got the sandwich and I ate it. And I have mixed reviews on it. Some people love it. I thought it was okay. But my point is, usually at these fast food restaurants, it's not the sandwich that gets you.
Yeah.
I did a little digging. So it's the large fry that usually comes with the sandwich, which is 510 calories.
Yeah.
And it's the 60-ounce fountain drink
that
comes with it, which is 380 calories. And so if you get the Big Mac meal size large, you're looking at 1,440 calories.
What a difference. Wow.
That's what blows things up.
Yeah.
It's not the, I mean, think about the sandwich. Now, we can argue about, you know, preservatives and everything in the meat, but it's really meat, bread, and some vegetables and a little sauce. On any of these sandwiches, really, it's those combinations. But it's when you go get the deep fried and the sugary drink that blows things up. So, no, for that reason, it really doesn't surprise me.
And the truth is, if you go to, like, I remember looking one time, I think maybe it was a Zaxby's salad. You look at one of their salads and how many calories. Yeah. There's as many calories in that as there are in
this. I remember looking at that one up. It's the Oriental Zensation or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's like 1,200 and something calories in a salad.
Yeah. So people, they think, well, I'm eating a salad, so I'm eating less calories. I'm eating more healthy, and that's not necessarily true.
No. In a lot of cases, it restaurants is not the case.
Yeah. But back to your point, it depends on the accoutrements you have with that meal that makes it relatively healthy or not healthy at all.
Probably my favorite salads. I'm thinking of a few sit-down restaurants. I love salad bars.
Yeah.
I'm a salad. I know some people think they're disgusting. I love them.
I do too.
But I have never made a healthy salad at a salad bar.
No.
It probably had more calories than the meal I was about to eat after. But as long as you go into these things eyes wide open, then you can say, yeah, I realize that has that many calories, but I'm going to do anyway. The problem a lot of people get in is they trick themselves into thinking, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a lot of good.
Yeah.
And you're actually doing a lot of bad. And that's where it turns on you.
Yeah. So the truth is, and the moral of the story, I think, is that fast food restaurants, they're not the best place to eat.
Sure.
For sure.
No.
Not, we're not saying that. We're not saying a Big Mac is good for you.
Right.
But it's also not the worst thing that you can eat either. So so don't if you're out there and you think, well, McDonald's is disgusting and terrible and the worst place in the world and it's the most unhealthy food you can find anywhere, but Wendy's is okay, you are wrong. That is just the bottom line. They're all very similar. And so, that's the only message that I think is important to get across.
Well said, Dean.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, Dean, so we're nearing... This is the Monday before Thanksgiving when this comes out. And we've got a few more webinars coming up. And we want you on there.
Yep.
If you have thought about teaching, coaching in your community this January or February, we need you to be on one of these podcasts. Maybe you're hearing this podcast and you don't know anything about us. Well, if you join one of these webinars, you'll learn everything there is to know about us. So, send an email to customerservice@runforgod.com and we will get you the information to get you on one of these webinars so that you can teach a class in your community first of next year and really see the power of using your passion to share Christ with others. It's an amazing thing and we want everybody to be a part of it.
Amen. Well, we had the first talk about robots and AI and stuff. We had the first robot to complete a marathon recently. It was a four-legged robot. Robot dog is one guy I listen to likes to call him. And it's called Rabo 2. That's a little too close to Rambo. developed by a research team at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. The previous record for longest walking distance completed by a quadruped robot was only 20 kilometers due to high energy demands limiting battery life. Back to the point you had. A video uploaded to YouTube shows the entire four-hour race. At both the halfway point and just past the three-hour mark, the robot collapsed onto the road. The research team running alongside it appeared to make some adjustments before the robot could continue running. Quote, during an operator change at the turning point, the emergency stop button on the controller was accidentally triggered due to us rushing, Lee explained in a comment under the video. Fortunately, there was no issue, so we were able to restart and depart right away. You know, I have to say, this kind of surprises me because I would have thought we had already done that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just, again, it goes back to how amazing our bodies are. I mean, and you know, and it took 4 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people who can run a marathon much faster than four hours, and they don't require a battery to do it.
Yeah, this is so creepy. I don't know what I would do if I was running a marathon and saw this robot come up beside me. I don't know what I feel about it. It's kind of like the drones. You know, they say, I asked somebody here a while back, you know, I kind of live out in the woods, and I said, if a drone came over my home, I would want to shoot it out of the sky.
Yeah.
Because that's like a peeping Tom in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if I were to go get a shotgun and shoot it out of the sky, would I be liable for the cost of that? And the answer I got was yes.
Is that right?
And that blows my mind. I don't understand some of the rules that are coming along with some of this technology, because to me, that's a direct violation of privacy. I know we're getting off the dog runner here.
Well, from a morality standpoint, though, there's a lot of moral questions that come with all of this technology.
Yeah. And the same goes with this. I mean, this is a gateway into a lot of other things, and I don't even know what those other things are, but yeah, it's like it's kind of like AI. You've got these people out there now who are saying, hey, we need to pump the brakes on this because we don't have legislation. We don't have rules and laws in place to handle what we know is coming with some of this stuff. And but nobody's pumping the brakes. They're just pushing right ahead. So I don't know what I think about the dog runner.
Well, we're recording this. We're going to get this out before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving starts the holiday season, as I think we all like to call it.
Yeah.
Because from Thanksgiving to Christmas is just a blur sometimes. Because
so, I mean, Dean, really, Halloween starts the Christmas season, you know, for me.
For you, definitely. But Rhonda Williams has written a story about Thanksgiving.
This is a great one.
Yep. And she calls it A Truly Thankful Thanksgiving. I don't know about yours, but our family Thanksgiving celebrations usually don't resemble the ones on television. A fire crackling in the fireplace, a cute little dog waiting patiently for a nibble, and a happy, harmonious family gathered around a beautifully set table with soft music playing in the background. Thanksgiving can be a warm and wonderful time, but it can also be stressful. Family togetherness can turn into total chaos in the blink of an eye. Face it, packing 15 people into a two-bedroom house is an invitation for bedlam. When one family member camps out on one of those bathrooms and the other one is, let's just say that no amount of pumpkin spice room spray is going to make it habitable, you're tempted to hop in the car and head down to Starbucks. There comes a moment when a cappuccino and a cranberry bliss bar sound better than turkey and dressing. One Thanksgiving in my family history stands out as a particularly stressful, but for a different reason. My mother called and told us the portable heart monitor my dad was wearing had indicated a life-threatening rhythm and the doctor wanted him in the hospital ASAP. My heart was racing as I threw a few things in the overnight bag. The hospital was a two-hour drive from our house, and I wanted to be prepared to stay for a few days. It was the day before Thanksgiving, and we drove north on the interstate. I knew this holiday was going to be different. I prayed all the way there that it wouldn't be tragic. The news was good. Dad just needed a pacemaker. Thank you, Jesus. The doctor also informed us that, unfortunately, because it was a holiday weekend, they would not be able to perform the surgery until Monday. So it looks like we're spending Thanksgiving here. We'll figure something out, my mother remarked. We had tons of food in our refrigerators back home just waiting to be cooked. Some of it had already been prepared. I am so sorry, my father exclaimed. I ruined everyone's Thanksgiving. I held his hand and told him, no, Dad, you didn't. This year, we have even more to be thankful for. We have you. Our family Thanksgiving meal was at Cracker Barrel that year. The servers were kind, compassionate, and very patient. God bless them. They pushed several tables together so our party of 10 could be seated together. We had a surprisingly good time, and the restaurant put together a takeout meal for Dad. He was delighted at the feast we sat in front of him as he followed doctor's orders and relaxed in his hospital bed. His smile reached from ear to ear as he saw all his favorites, including pumpkin pie. No hospital food for you, Dad. Not today. We talked about all we had to be thankful for while Dad indulged in his Cracker Barrel feast. First, Dad had survived and was in the right place to receive the care he needed. Second, we were all together. Not the way or place we had planned, but together nonetheless. One by one, we told stories of what God has done for us. Some of those stories made us stop and reflect, and others caused us to laugh so hard we had tears rolling down our cheeks. We also discussed how easy it is to take our blessings for granted, but not this year. This year, we were reminded what Thanksgiving is really all about. It's not about the feast, a day off from work, or the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's not even about family togetherness. It's about humbling ourselves before God and expressing our gratitude for His abundant provision. You see, when you focus on the love of Jesus, all the negative fades into the background. This Thanksgiving, when the turkey is overcooked and the pecan pie is a gelatinous mess, give thanks anyway. When Grandpa Frank and Uncle Fred begin to argue over politics and Cousin Susie complains because there are pecans on the sweet potato casserole instead of mini marshmallows, just smile. And when you find yourself relegated to the kids' table yet again, take a deep breath and count your blessings. Even the little blessings sitting next to you shoving peas up his nose.
Wow. Rhonda, this is a great one. This is one of your... How many has Rhonda done now?
She's done a bunch, but I really, really like this one.
This one, yeah. It's what I need to hear. Because I am that personality that I have this picture in my head of what I want things to look like.
Yeah.
And I'm really prone and susceptible to just completely getting bent out of shape when it doesn't look like that. And I needed to hear this.
Yeah.
Because it made her take inventory of what's truly important. And this was actually supposed to come out after Thanksgiving. And we talked this morning and said, we need to hurry this one up and get it out. Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of people out there like me that we have this picture of what we want things to look like. And when it doesn't look like that, in our minds, it's ruined. And it's not. It's just different. And that's okay.
Yeah, and, for sure. You know, I can't help but think about one Thanksgiving that my mother loved Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving meal was super, super important to her. But one year I wanted to run the Atlanta Half Marathon, which is run on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah.
And of course, for my mother, her kids were always first. Whatever her kids wanted to do, then that was going to be the thing that took precedence. And it took precedence over Thanksgiving. I never really thought about that until recently, about how much sacrifice she made to take me to a half marathon. Well, we go to this half marathon, and toward the end of the race, it rains a little bit. She's out there, and she's cheering me on, coming through the finish line, which was one of my best races ever. I finished third in the Atlanta Half Marathon, which is a big race.
Yeah.
And as she's going to rendezvous with me after I get through the shoot, she slides down a little embankment and breaks her ankle. And so we were planning on getting through with the race and, of course, heading straight home and cooking up Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Instead, we went to the emergency room to find out she had a broken ankle. And that was not a normal Thanksgiving. My mother felt so bad. And I was like,
reason you were at that race.
Yeah. I mean, this is great. You know, and I think we were extra thankful that Thanksgiving because of that.
Yeah.
You know, you just realize, again, We take for granted what we have until something goes wrong.
Yeah. And even when it is, everything is normal. You know, ever since Holly and I were dating, I've been in Mexico Beach, which is not in Mexico. It's in the Panhandle of Florida. but I've been there every single year, the week of Thanksgiving. I'm leaving tomorrow morning, headed down there. And so I'm one of those tradition people. And I love traditions. I love traditional trips and you know, even when it does go as planned, you know, she mentioned the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I will add on the Purina dog show that comes on right after it every year and all those things and sights and sounds. But even when it's going right, sometimes we get so caught up in the doing the things that we don't plop down on the couch and just hang out with family. You know, we're busy, and we get to the end of it and we look back and we're like, man, the whole family was here and I didn't even talk to Grandpa Frank or Uncle Fred, who she's talking about here.
Yeah.
And so I guess my challenge to you this Thanksgiving, and it's the challenge to myself, take it all in.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that the dishes are in the sink.
Nope.
Don't worry about that the grill's not been clean yet because you just smoked the turkey or whatever it is. All that stuff can wait. Enjoy your family.
Amen. And not just Thanksgiving, the whole holiday season.
Exactly.
The whole holiday season. Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Hmm. I love this is a really good one because this verse is also in Exodus 34:6, basically. And in that context, God is showing, he's shown not just to be gracious, but also really patient. This is when he tells Moses to go back up because he has broken the Ten Commandments,
right,
and he has to go back up and receive those again. And, you know, God could have said, you had your shot.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Right.
And he does that for all of us all the time. When we mess up, God's going to give us another chance.
Sure.
As long as we come to him in obedience, which is what Moses had to do. He had to go with obedience, go back up and receive those. And God just wants to see us make good choices. And when we make a bad choice, I think he wants us to reevaluate and make a better choice next time.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think one of the things about things she mentions here, the divisive talk that can happen during these meals. And one of the things, you know, what do they tell you not to talk about? Politics
religion
and religion.
And politics, right? Yeah.
But we're called to talk about God.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that in a way that's not offensive to the uncle who is an atheist?
Yeah.
Well, I think the way we do that is we just share what God's done in our lives. Yeah. I don't think that's ever threatening to anybody.
No, because you can't argue with that.
Right.
You can't argue. People can argue, even though I don't think rightly, they can argue the tenets of our faith, but they can't argue with my testimony. That's why our testimony is so powerful.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, you don't need to say, well, this is what God's done in my life, and if you'll get your life together, this is what...
That's right.
Yeah, it's all about, I mean, let's see. I'm going back to the abounding in love is in 103:8, which is the next verse. Steadfast love when describing the Lord in Psalm 145. There's a theme here, and it's love. And if love is undergirding what you're saying, then you're right in your presentation. But so many times, we come to things with a judgmental tone, especially when it's that family member at Thanksgiving who you're always kind of going at, and it just doesn't, it's not underpinned with love.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is love. And so when you do it with any other kind of tone, God is not in that.
Yeah.
Because God is love, right?
Yeah.
So if it comes out in any other tone, condescending, holier than thou, I'm right, you're wrong, God's not in that. And God don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
It needs to be laced in love.
Good point. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. This verse is repeated several times in the Bible. Whenever something is repeated in the Bible, it's very important. So I have started including it in my prayers.
Yes, she highlights what we've said a lot of times. When it's repeated in the Bible, it's God saying, look, listen, you didn't get this the first time. And that's important. Usually it's a warning of some kind. But here it's love.
Yeah.
I am love. I'm abounding in love.
That's right.
Every way he can say it, that's what he's saying. And that's how, if we're going to portray Christ, it's got to be in love.
Yeah. Yeah. But my favorite repeated term in the Bible is do not fear, which is repeated 365 times, one for every day of the year.
In some order.
Not a coincidence, I'm sure. Yeah. But the other thing that's repeated is it talks about us giving thanks.
Right.
So many times throughout the Bible, it talks about giving thanks. And it provides examples of giving thanks. And I don't know how many people know this, and I don't want to get into politics, but if you go back to the way this country was founded, we were founded as a people giving thanks. There were literally hundreds, at least, maybe thousands of times where our government, whether it be a national government or a state government, sent out proclamations of prayer and thanksgiving.
Right.
And that's what we were to do.
Yeah.
And we've lost our way a little bit as far as that goes. But that's where we come from. And we should continue to insist that that's what we do, that we continue to pray and be thankful for all the things that we have, including the freedoms that we have to do the things that we can do, regardless of what your political affiliation is. You know, I think it doesn't matter if you're what side of the aisle you're on, we would all believe that we're in the best country in the world.
Yeah.
And so we should be thankful for that. Psalm 100, 1 through 5, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord and all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations.
You know, Psalm 100 is the first chapter that I ever memorized.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I was maybe second grade or so. But yeah, I mean, this is really a psalm of how we should start every prayer. We should come to God with thanksgiving, praising Him. I mean, even if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's the first in the sequence, right? We should come to Him thanking Him for all the things in our life. And yeah. I saw something, it's been a long time ago, but it said, imagine everything being taken away from you that you don't thank God for. And that's always really hit home to me, that we should be thanking God for the big things and for the little things, because His Word tells us to do that. His Word commands us to do that, to be thankful, to be, to have thanksgiving for the things in our life. Because that can all be taken away from us.
Absolutely. I couldn't help but fixate on the words joyful noise. Mm-hmm. We always associate joyful noise with singing, or at least attempting to sing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think to God's ears, there's a lot of other joyful noises that we can make.
Yeah.
When we're sitting around that table and we're sharing the blessings that He's given us in that way of love that you were talking about earlier, that's a joyful noise to God.
Yeah.
And so joyful noise, I don't think just means
saying things in a loving way is hard not to be joyful.
That's true.
I mean, I always joke on here. We have those family members who their spirit animal is Eeyore, and everything is so whatever, and it's just always talking down. And I think that's what this is talking about. That is not a joyful noise.
Yeah,
you can be in the most horrific circumstances and have joy.
Absolutely.
If you've got Christ in your heart, you have that. That is available to you no matter what your circumstances are. Mm-hmm. Rhonda, you know, talking about her story, that was not an ideal situation, but she found joy in that situation. Yeah. Sitting in that hospital room on Thanksgiving Day, she could have been Eeyore.
Yeah.
But she was joyful instead because she was thankful. It's hard not to be joyful when you have a thankful heart, because you understand that all this is, you don't need to take it for granted. It can all be gone. So the fact that you have it, the fact that you have your father sitting there, the fact that you have your family there, no matter how well you get along with them, it's a joyful time.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it easier to do what the other part of this verse says, where it says, serve the Lord with gladness.
Yeah.
When you're joyful, well, that's easy.
Right.
Right? It's we think about, I always think about the verse, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Well, the glory of God is not a thing to be dreaded. And that, back to your point about the Eeyore thing, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we all get there, right? I do a number of things around the church. You do too.
Yeah.
And sometimes you feel like you're just checking off a box. And sometimes we get there. But hopefully we catch ourselves at other times and go, I need to be a little more joyful about this.
Yeah.
And I think 90% of the time we are. But every once in a while, we're going to be the other way. So. And the idea is to be glad. The idea that we get to do these things, we get to do this podcast, we get to talk about God, we get to share. It's a lot like the running thing we've always talked about. Mm-hmm. We get to run. We don't have to run.
Sure.
Question. Do you get caught up in the preparation and stress of the holidays so much that you forget to give thanks? Focus on what the holiday is really all about. Maybe it's time to simplify.
So I get caught up in the prep for everything.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yes.
That's my Achilles heel. I'm always prepping for something, and then I'll prep for the prep. And I think that's a good thing to some degree. But I think one thing I have learned through the years is the last phrase. Maybe it's time to simplify.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that God has really shown me through the years is that we can have too many plates spinning. And, you know, we've talked about this before that we need to find time to do nothing. You know, if you hold your schedule up and it's packed from daylight to dark, that is not something to be proud of, in my opinion. I'm not impressed when people, you know, when you go, how are you? Well, I'm just crazy busy. I just, I can't keep up. And they're saying that in a prideful way. And I'm like, and that's, you know, you got to be careful that that doesn't fall to the side of laziness. But I think our lack of joy and I hate to use the word living in the moment because that is such a cliche I don't like. But you get what I'm saying. The Thanksgiving Day when you're focused on your family. I think so much of that is due to us just not having time.
Yeah.
We're always looking to that next, you know.
You're right.
You and I go to lunch and we can't even have a decent conversation because I'm like, I'm looking at my watch or you're looking at your watch. I've got to get to this other thing.
Yeah.
Simplify.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got 30 minutes in for lunch and that's what you put an hour in. Because just like running, it's, we all have time.
Yeah.
We all have 24 hours in a day. It's how we manage it. And I have come to the conclusion through the years, I used to not be this way, but that if you're saying you don't have time and you're proud of that backlog schedule that you hold up with pride, you're mismanaging your time. And it's your own fault that you don't have time for God.
Yeah.
It's your own fault if you don't have time for running. And that may come across as harsh, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we make our schedules. Now, sure, you have a job and you work 10 hours a day or whatever. Well, guess what? You got 14 outside of that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And simplify it. Take Rhonda's advice here. Maybe it's time to simplify.
You know, as you're talking, I can't help but think about this weekend. You know, I'm going to go run that 12-hour run. I haven't prepared for that at all. Not at all. None. Zero. I've been running every day. But I haven't tapered for it. I haven't. It's just going to be something that comes up in my schedule. I mean, I've cut back on my mileage a little bit this week, but I'm not. I'm just going to go do it.
Sure.
And I'm going to do it to have fun, not to go out there and to dread. Oh my gosh, it's gonna hurt so bad. By the time I get to noon, I'm gonna be dying. I'm not gonna do that.
You've got the mindset. This is gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
this is probably gonna hurt real bad.
Yeah,
I'm kind of excited about it.
Yes.
Yeah, you're wired a little bit like a lot like I am. Yeah. I guess.
I think this is one of those things that here's what I want to say. So here's something that I do. I don't get stressed during the holidays. I don't. And I don't do a ton of the prep work and stuff, so it's almost not fair for me to say that because Debbie does a lot more in preparing for the holidays and doing Christmas shopping and things like that than I do.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's not fair, but at the same time, I can't help but think about Christmas morning. We have a special tradition on Christmas morning where we do Christmas breakfast on Christmas morning. I cook 6 pounds of bacon on Christmas morning.
It's my kind of breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, and sausage. And I think about this. Everybody that comes to our house Christmas morning knows they're going to get Christmas breakfast. And if the bacon didn't get done, if the sausage didn't get done, the gravy, I make the gravy. And if the gravy doesn't get done, which, by the way, Debbie taught me how to make gravy. And she tells me I make it better than her, but I'm on to her. I know better than that. She just doesn't. It's just one more thing I can take off her plate.
It's like Holly vacuums so much better than I do.
Yeah. Anyway, but what happens if we get there and my griddle doesn't work and, you know, and we can't cook it all on the stove and, you know, we don't have bacon. Is somebody going to go, oh my gosh, I'm going home now. I'm not going to have bacon. No, they're going to go, oh, well, it's a little bit different this year, but it's all good.
Yeah.
But we get stressed about, oh, my gosh, if I don't get that bacon cooked, it's good. No, don't worry about it. Nobody cares. They're there to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the important thing of Thanksgiving is all the people sitting around.
Yeah.
It's not the food. It's not the way the house looks. It's not all of those things. I was going to say it's not the doneness of the turkey, but that's pretty important. You might want to get that done.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't try
sure.
to do your best.
Yeah.
But here's my challenge to you. While you're getting ready, while you're doing these things to prepare for whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever, whistle while you do it.
Yeah.
Because you can't be mad and whistle.
Right. Yeah.
Another question. When was the last time you listed your blessings? I mean, actually wrote them down on a piece of paper and prayed a prayer of thanks over them.
I see your notes and I'm right there with you. I've never done this.
No,
I'm ashamed to say that. Because of what I just said a little while ago, what if you lost everything you don't pray for? Well, what's the best way to remember everything to pray for? I mean, I have the big things. I mean, I have rocks where I write, but those aren't blessings. Those are prayer requests. But to her point, maybe we should have a list.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people that do that. I've just never been one to do it. But that was pretty convicting, this question right here, Rhonda.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Although, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've done this where you've sat there and just in prayer, just thought about all the things that you have, and you can yeah. list those things over in your head. And it's, yeah, there's so much to be thankful for. You know, I'm 59 years old this year, and I'm going to run more miles this year than I've ever run in a year in my life at 59. And I've been running my whole life.
Yeah.
I started running when I was 14.
Yeah.
So what a blessing.
Sure.
What a huge blessing. Golly. Last question. Pecans or marshmallows on your sweet potato casserole?
I said marshmallows, but honestly, that's the dish I skip.
Is it really?
I mean, there's just so many other better things in
yeah.
my opinion that, you know, I tend to skip. But if I did get it, I want the marshmallows. I want that sweetness.
Yeah, either one's fine with me. Yeah. I like pecans. I guess if I had to choose, I'd probably choose the pecans,
yeah.
but I'm not going to be mad about either one.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this is, you know, I grew up in the North,
yeah.
and I just don't remember us eating anything that had anything to do with sweet potatoes during Thanksgiving.
Really?
I don't know if that's a Northern thing or if it was a my family thing, but my family didn't. We ate potatoes. We'd have like mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
My mother would mash up the potatoes, and she was so proud of how hard she worked to mash up those potatoes to make them good. And I've always liked the flake, creamy potatoes better.
The fake ones.
The fake ones. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
heresy, Dean.
I know.
So let me ask you this. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Ham. I love ham at Thanksgiving.
Just the basic.
Honey-baked ham.
Honey-baked ham.
Yep. Yep, no question about it. I worked at the Honey Baked Ham Company one time.
Yeah.
Just before Christmas, I think it was. Yeah, it was the week before Christmas. I worked there 1 week. It was actually my first job.
Yeah.
And if you ever saw them putting the honey and stuff on those hams, you would love it even more. You know, yeah. a lot of times you say if you ever saw how it's prepared, you would.
Tell behind the scenes, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Watching that. Process.
Do they inject them too? Is it injected into the ham?
No, they just put stuff on the outside of it, and they have these spiral slicers.
Yeah,
and they pour this stuff over the, and it just runs over the top of it, and then they take like a torch.
Yeah,
and they
crystallize it,
and it crystallizes. Yeah, oh man, I can still see it happening, and yeah, so. And maybe that's part of the reason why I love it. So I like ham.
Anyway. Now, ham's my favorite on Thanksgiving night. You know, when
yeah.
you come back for round two and you get the Sister Schubert roll and the big slice of ham.
Oh, yeah, that's good
stuff. But I love when it's hot and fresh, the turkey is.
You love turkey.
Yeah, if it's done right. It's got to be the right temp and
not a turkey fan.
Not over undercooked, but.
I'm not a turkey fan.
Man, I'm getting excited now.
Yeah, I know,
this
right?
This is making me ready for Thanksgiving.
I hope you guys are going to have a great Thanksgiving. It is so hard to stay on track as a runner or a walker. The world also makes it difficult to stay on track spiritually, too.
For pennies a day, Upward Sports Run for God Run Club can make both of these journeys more fun and much easier. Join the Run for God Run Club and get access to training plans, videos, and the best group of active Christians you will find anywhere. Go to runforgod.com and sign up today.
All right, well, I got this from the Trail Runner. Trailrunner.com, I guess it is. And they asked this question, what happens if you leave the house and you forget your fueling? Can you replace it with something at a convenience store? And you've probably done this before, right?
I've done this especially, before. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love this question because we talk all the time about making adjustments.
Yeah.
And this actually happened to me not too long ago. So I left the house. I usually use gels as for my fueling for a long run. And I was going out for, I want to say it was 18 miles or something like that. And I forgot my gels. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at my house, it's a hassle to get back to my house.
Yeah.
Because you have that mountain hill right there to climb up. So instead, my church is down the hill from my house. I stopped at my church and I had an oatmeal cream pie and a Belvita cracker kind of thing.
Coffee cracker, whatever.
Yeah. And you know what? It did the trick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure it wasn't
oatmeal
better.
Oatmeal cream pie is like, I mean, that's got to be on the list of best fuels for endurance athletes.
That's what I think.
Because it's got a little bit of everything in it.
It does. Yeah.
And if you think about it, I mean, I've always said this, you know, when the kids were young and they would kind of, of course, especially my oldest, he was a little bit different than the average kid. I mean, everything he thought about was, is it going to make me faster?
Yeah.
And he would kind of snarl his nose at a Snickers as he was opening an energy bar. And I'm like, it's the same thing.
It's not much different.
It's the same thing. I mean, read the active ingredients on it. It was all marketing. But I mean, you can do a jam up job on your fuel at a convenience store.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're saying, now that's not ideal, we're not saying that's the best thing.
Sure.
We're just saying that
it's
this
better
is,
than not.
That's right.
And winding up on the side of the road.
Absolutely. So what are the things that you need to fuel for a long run? You need fluids, obviously. You need electrolytes and you need calories.
Right.
And so fluids are easy at a gas station. Obviously, you can, you know, you have water, you have Gatorades, and you have all these other things. Gatorade is a pretty good choice because it's, you know, it's got some electrolytes in it as well and some calories, and that's good from a running standpoint. Although for some people, Gatorade is tough on their stomach, and so some people struggle with Gatorade and they would rather have a scratch or something like that. But
Gatorade's got a lot of sugar, which is good if you can handle it.
That's right.
During a workout.
That's exactly right. You need sugar when you're running for energy. And then there's other sports drinks and things like that. And you can try some of those. But just remember, if you go for something like a vitamin water because you think it sounds better,
Well,
just remember vitamin water doesn't have the calories.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the sugar. And you really do need that. So don't be afraid to.
Yeah, all the nutrients is what you're going to find in the Gatorades and the sports drinks because that's why they're formulated. I mean, if you're out running and, you know, if you've been here, you know what I'm saying, but you start to get that, it's almost like a tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Your tongue feels like it's swelling and you're a little bit lethargic and things aren't clear. That's usually an indication, not that you need calories, it's an indication you need those nutrients.
Yeah.
And Gatorade, a lot of times, will knock that out within a minute or two.
It will.
It'll really push you back.
A lot of that has to do, too, with sodium. We have to have sodium. Sodium is the most important electrolyte that we can have while we're out running. And so we need to have it. And here are some, they mentioned some sodium options for things that you can find at a convenience store. Mustard packets are good. Salt packets. Pickles and pickle juice is really good. Pretzels, chips. Those are good sodium options for you, if you don't have something else. And then some good calorie options. A lot of convenience stores carry things like Clif Bars or some kind of, something that's meant for that kind of thing. Honey Stinger waffles are fairly popular now. Bananas, obviously, a lot of convenience stores just have a little basket of fruit. Bananas are a really good thing. Even one of the things it mentions is the Haribo gummies. They have 100 a serving, which I'm not sure how many pieces that, 13 pieces, is 100 calories. It's 23 grams of carbs and 14 grams of sugar. They're pretty easy to eat and digest. And so that's not a bad choice.
Kind of in that same line as jelly beans.
Yes.
You know, I think they even make a sport bean now, but all it is a jelly bean.
Yeah. Just a little bit higher quality ingredients. Yeah. Pop-Tarts, really good. Lots of carbs and sugar there. Snickers bars, again, carbs. Snicker bar has a lot of calories, a lot of carbs, and a lot of sugar. It's also got a lot of fat, but it's also got some protein in it as well.
But it's great because it's fairly small.
Yeah.
It's all that really dense packed in there. Because, I mean, when you're out on a run or a ride or something like that, your worst enemy is a lot of something.
Yeah.
You know, to get in a lot of calories, a lot of times you got to eat something big, which is just heavy on your stomach. And some of these things are just packed full really densely, like a Snickers bar.
Yeah, yeah. Pretzels, chips, cereal bar, Nutri-Grain cereal bars are good. Even Skittles have a fair amount of calories and carbs in them. So the interesting thing about this article is that when this guy got through and he figured out the combination he needed to get the number of calories, the number of carbs, and the amount of sugar and sodium and all that he would normally get out of his regular fuel that he would usually, it cost him it was a little over $9 to get what he needed. And he calculated the cost of what it cost him to use his regular stuff, which is the higher quality stuff, and it was over $20.
Yeah.
So it was half the cost.
Yeah.
So I say this because, listen, if you're out there and you don't have the money to spend $20 every long run because you just don't have the cash to do it, these other alternatives, they're not so bad.
No, and I'll add this because this is important, and I'm not putting down the endurance nutrition industry, but a lot of that stuff, it just doesn't taste good.
That's true.
If it doesn't taste good, the chances of you using it like you should drop. You know, when I used to do long rides, like I'd do a 100-mile training ride or whatever, you know what I would take with me? Do you remember what I used to take with me?
Mm-mm.
Uncrustables.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that are frozen, and then I would put them in my back, and then so by the time they had many of the same things that you need. It's got the bread, it's got the protein and the peanut butter, it's got the sugar and the jelly, but it tasted good.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I believe, you know, it lifted my mood because I was looking forward to eating. I mean, who doesn't like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Right.
I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing. You see a lot of people, they're taking their nutrition, they have this bitter look on their face. Find something different. Find something that you enjoy is just as important as having something with all the right balance, the exact balance of nutrition in it.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And again, we're not saying that you shouldn't use the higher quality stuff.
No.
Certainly, if that's what you'll use and that's what you like, and great, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
But
a lot of it comes down to what your gut will handle. And that's, again, it's just like shoes. Don't ask your buddy what they use because chances are it's going to be different for you. You got to experiment, and don't experiment on race day.
That's right.
Training is when you do this.
That's exactly right. Well, all right. It's a time for Dean's Thoughts, and that's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. You know, sometimes it's just about showing up to get it done. And let's boil it all down to the most simple principle. This one is called keep showing up. Hard is relative. The thing that is easy for me may be hard for you. Running at 8 minutes per mile is easy for me, but it is impossible for some. Of course, the thing that is hard for me may be easy for you. If you can remember your next door neighbor's name, you're ahead of me. Not because I don't pay enough attention to my neighbor, but because remembering names is a terribly difficult thing for me. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. The most important thing is that we're all working to be better at everything we do. I work on being better at remembering names. That would not be a surprise to anyone who knows me, because it is clear that I need to improve that skill. But I also work on being better, be a better runner too. Even though I've logged over 100,000 miles in my life, you're probably the same, working on both your strengths and your weaknesses. For most people, running is a hard thing to do, but that's what makes it worthwhile. You know what I do when I get through with a 20-mile run? I grab a quick lunch, maybe, then I'm out working on my yard or headed to Costco or whatever else is on the list of to-dos. I'm glad I did it, but it's not a big deal. For most people, a 20-mile run is a big accomplishment, but running can also be hard for me, depending on what I'm doing. A couple of years ago, I ran 4 national championship races in 4 days. It was really hard. I look back at the photo of me with the 4 medals around my neck and the accomplishment I feel today. It far overshadows the pain of those 4 days. The only way we get better at the activities we are good at and the things we're not so good at is to do them. It sounds so simple, and yet sometimes we fail at the execution. I think the reason we struggle is because we complicate nearly everything we do. We worry about how difficult it's going to be to complete the 8-miler. We fret over starting on painting that bedroom. We lament the amount of time it will take to complete the next project. But there's a simple answer to all of them. Think in the most simplistic terms available. It turns out that just showing up at the starting line is often the most difficult part of the process. So focus on that. Just show up. Be determined to always show up at the starting line, and you'll be surprised how quickly some of your questions are answered. I'm going to run a backyard ultra. Here's how that works. You start with a big group of people, and everyone must complete a 4.1667-mile loop in less than an hour. The next hour, everyone will start again, at least all who can start the next hour. The winner is the one who keeps showing up. The last person to complete the loop in an hour wins. It's the person who keeps showing up. There is power in showing up. So the next time you're struggling with anything, just show up. The next time you can't find the energy to get your work in, just show up at the starting line and see what happens. As Christians, we are called to show up. The Great Commission cannot be fulfilled without being in the presence of others. In other words, the first step of doing what God has called us to do is to show up. There's a lot of power in just showing up. If you're struggling with something, I invite you to go back to step one and just think about it in its most simple terms. We often spend a lot of energy before we ever get to the things we want to do. What would happen if we saved our energy for that thing? Just show up.
Man, that's a great one, Dean.
Don't you think that's true? We spend so much energy worrying about whether or not we can or can. And all that energy is much better if you just use it to do the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a perfect example of that is, you know, how many people do we know that they fret and they put all their focus, their energy, their thought in to the training plan? Is it just right? Do I got to do this, or do I got to do this, or do I need to do 4 800s or 8 200s? Or and that same person, you'll look on their Strava and they skip 6 workouts in a month.
Yeah.
And you're like, rather than fretting over all of that, 6 by 200 or 12 by 100, it doesn't matter. I mean, it does. But the biggest thing that matters is showing up, getting out the door and getting the run in. You can have all the – I see this with, you know, I like to hunt. I like to play golf. I like to do a lot of things, and you see these in every area. You know, you see the guy that shows up to a duck hunt, for instance. And to look at him, this guy's going to knock every bird out of the sky. He's got the – $5,000 gun. He's got the $1,000 waders. He looks like he just came out of, you know, Field and Stream magazine. and then he doesn't hit the first bird.
Yeah.
He put all his focus on the look rather than going to the skeet range and actually shooting his gun.
Yep.
And you see that in golf. You see that in triathlon. You know, we used to talk about the kids. Don't look at the kids who walk in with the $10,000 bike. That doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because a lot of times those kids, they're putting their focus on their bike and they're never actually riding the bike.
Yep.
So, yeah, we see this all over.
Absolutely.
Show up and do the work. And then worry about the other things later that will enhance the work you've done.
But worrying about those things doesn't do any good if you don't show up.
No.
Yep.
No.
I thought about it. I think this is the secret to the running streak.
Yeah.
It's just about just go out there and you just do it. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter if you're prepared. You just go out there and you do it.
Yeah.
And the other day, I had just gotten through eating. And I needed to get my run in. It was the only time I was going to be able to run is right after I got through. Within 15 minutes of getting through running, I'm out. I'm eating. I'm out running.
Yeah.
That's not comfortable. That's never a comfortable thing to do, to eat right out. But it's
what you got to do what you got to do.
It's what I needed to do. Yeah. And did I feel it? Yeah. Was it comfortable? Nah, not really. But I got it in and I got a little fitter that day because I went ahead and got it done. And so many people would worry about, I don't think I can eat right after I get there. I didn't give it a second thought.
No. It's the same reason I've run in blue jeans.
Yeah.
I've run in Crocs.
Yeah.
I've run 4 miles. Now, I will never do that again. If I showed up to run and all I had was Crocs, I will turn around and go back home. But yeah, I mean, and there's something about it. We talk about this all the time. It's kind of like the snow and the rain and the storms there's something that is so satisfying when you do it like that. Like when you started that run right after you ate, that first mile, you were probably thinking, this was a bad idea. And maybe even the last mile, you know, running after. But when you get done, there's something so satisfying about, hey, there was an obstacle that could have stopped me from doing this, and I didn't let it.
Yeah.
And there's something so satisfying about that.
For sure. Yeah. It's just showing up. It's a big deal. You know what? Here's the other thing about showing up, too, is the people that you appreciate the most are people who just show up, right? When, as a coach, the athletes that are there every day doing what they're supposed to do, those are the ones you appreciated the most. The coworker. You know, the person who's always there and always willing to help, that's the one you appreciate the most. Family members, you know, who whenever you need something, or a friend, whenever you need something, you know you can call them and they'll be there.
And you don't have to even think about whether they're going to be there or not.
Right.
They're there.
Right. Yep. It just showing up, it's just such a big deal.
Yeah.
There is no better way to start the day than in the Word. Our Bible in a Year challenge is a great way to start the day in the Word as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. I also share running and walking tips each day, as well as encouraging quotes. Choose the self-paced challenge so that you can go at your pace. You must be a Run Club member for access to this exciting challenge. So, if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for?
Every week, I share a reason why running and/or walking is so awesome. You know, we've kind of demonstrated this through our topics today. It's a good way to show God's work off, right? God made these amazing machines that we have, these bodies that we have, and we can do incredible things with them.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to be able to show off what God created.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily do it to show off for God. But we are demonstrating it every time we go out there. I don't know what I'm going to do in this 12-hour run, but
yeah,
just the idea that you can go out there and keep your heart rate basically elevated for 12 hours is a big deal. It's amazing that it can do that. So, yeah, that's for this week. Well, it is, again, we've talked a lot about Thanksgiving season. I just want to say how thankful I am for so much, but God continues to blessed me to be able to do, to be able to run every day. Just the idea that, you know, Mark Twain said, I think it was, well, it's attributed to several people, but Mark Twain said, do what you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way I feel.
We don't work much, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. We really don't.
That sounds bad to say, and it's bad that that sounds bad to say.
Yeah. That's true.
It's because I really am proud of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I, and some people listening may not have that ability, but I would push back on that and say you do have that ability because you can enjoy, you can be good at, you can give glory to God in whatever situation. You know, when my kids were growing up and I'd always talk about the importance of whatever it is you're doing, do it for the glory of God and do it the best. And I always made the comments. I never worked at McDonald's, but I said, if I could go to McDonald's today and I would be the best at it,
mm-hmm.
and I would love it,
mm-hmm.
because it has nothing to do with the atmosphere in which you're working. It has everything to do with the attitude that you take to that job.
Yep.
And I think too many times nowadays, people, I don't know what it is. It's, they just don't enjoy what they're doing. And enjoying what you're doing or not enjoying what you're doing is a choice.
That's right.
Period. Yep. It is a choice. I mean, I've worked a lot of different, I've worked at golf courses. I've worked at the boot factory. I've worked construction. I've worked in real estate. And I enjoyed all of them, not because it was necessarily my gift, but because I just always went into whatever I did with an attitude of work. And you'll be good at it. Because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
You know, you may not be the best. You may not be as high producing as somebody else. But if when you're joyful about what you're doing, it's infectious. And so those that are around you become better because of you.
Well, that's what makes it joyful is the idea of trying to do your best at something.
Yeah.
That makes things more joyful when you try to do things to the best of your ability, whatever that ability may be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so excited because I actually talked to, I went into an Ace Hardware the other day and I saw a guy who I knew him professionally in real estate for many, many years. And when I walked in, he said, can I help you find anything? And I was like, Charles? And he was like, Mitchell? And it was so refreshing to see because he's exactly what I've said I'll do. I've said when I will never retire, number one. But when God has me hang up my running shoes, which it may be 90 before I do that, I'm going to go to like Lowe's or somewhere like yeah. that. And I'm going to be the best greeter. And that's exactly what Charles was doing.
Yeah.
Charles retired from a job and he didn't want to sit at home. So he was working at Ace Hardware. And I watched him as I was walking around in there. He was so joyful. And I mean, he wasn't, he's probably making next to nothing. You know, he's working 4 or 5 hours. But it's the attitude that he brings that makes him so valuable to that Ace Hardware, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's probably works less hours. He's probably the lowest paid guy there. But he brings the greatest value to the store. And it's because of his attitude.
Yeah.
He's thankful for that job.
Yeah. I had something happen. I was texting back and forth with Mike mm-hmm. from Big Peach.
Yeah.
And he sent me something yesterday and it had a picture of him and another guy.
Yeah.
And he said, he was telling this guy about what I had said about the shoes that I had bought from them. And he said, and the guy said, did you say Dean Thompson? It turns out it was a guy that I ran with in high school.
Yeah. Small world.
Man. Yes.
And he works for Big Peach now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just so, all of those things, you look back on your life and you have so many things to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for Todd. He yeah. was a worthy competitor back in the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a really neat.
And so I guess thing. The challenge is, you know, we've already thrown out one challenge to kind of think differently this Thanksgiving. But also in your job, you know, some people might say, well, I don't like my job. Well, change that thought tomorrow.
Yeah.
Decide, I'm going to love my job. I mean, Dean, I grew up on construction sites. I've seen guys putting in septic systems and they loved their job. And that is yeah. so admirable. I mean, I admire that so much because
me
it's not about the paycheck. It's about, are they enjoying those 8 to 10 hours a day, which is a humongous part of our life.
Yeah.
As we spend at work. And they're enjoying every minute of it. And yeah, that's worth more than some big paycheck.
Yep. So write down your things you're thankful for. I think that's a great idea from Rhonda.
Yeah.
I think I need to do that.
I'm going to.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun to do. Good exercise. Well, how about a trivia question for this week? Let's go back to school and ask a cardiology question. How many chambers are in a human heart and what are they called? Mm. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. I remember how many. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so if you know the answer to that, you can send a email to dean@upward.org. And the first person who's a Run Club member with the correct answer will win $20 off in the store. So get to it. The heart, how many chambers and what are they called?
So did you tell people where to send that answer to? You didn't say that, did
Dean
you?
dean@upward.org.
Did you say that?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
I completely missed that, Dean.
Man. Well, we'll leave you with this motivational thought of the week. And it comes from Teddy Roosevelt. He said, believe you can, and you're halfway there.
So true.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, it's just, that's that just showing up thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, that's, you're halfway there if you can just get to the starting line. So, yeah, we challenge you. Be thankful and show up. Good thought for the day. And until next time, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.